Matthew chapter 10, we're only reading verses 29 to 31, a very short reading this evening, after a longer reading from our opening psalm. These are very familiar and yet very precious words. Matthew 10, 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Fear not. It's one of the most frequent commands in the Bible. And yet it's one we need reminded of every single day. Fear not. It's said, in fact, that this command appears 365 times in the Bible. Now, the total varies depending on what specific words you search for and what Bible translation you use. But there is this widely held view that there are 365 fear nots in Scripture. You might say one for every day in the year. Now, whether that's true or not, I can't completely stand over the figures, but it's a lovely thought, isn't it? What a lovely thought. A fear not for every day of the year. And I'm sure it would make a profitable study sometime to just consider some of the fear nots of the Bible. This evening, as we return to the Gospel according to Matthew, we are returning actually to the passage we covered last week. But there were a few verses we really just skimmed over last time. And we want to go back to them this evening and just dig a little deeper, because there's gold to be found in these verses. Verses 29 to 31 of Matthew 10. Here we find one of the Bible's fear nots. And with all that's going on today, friends, in your life, my life, whether it's the continuing coronavirus situation, whether it's your job situation, your health, whether it's concerning your loved ones, maybe it's just the deep uncertainty of what's lying ahead of us over the next days, weeks, months, do we not need to hear Jesus saying to us this evening, fear not, fear not? There's actually three fear nots in the wider context here in Matthew 10. Jesus, if you remember in the series, he's just called his disciples to the work of mission. He's told them that they're going out as sheep among wolves, that they're going to face hostility and hardship. And it's to this bunch of fearful, trembling disciples, he tells them three times, fear not, fear not. Fear not. And we're just looking specifically at the third fear not in Matthew 10, and it's in verse 31, but let me read the couple of verses beforehand as well. Let me read these verses once again. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I want to consider with you three reasons not to fear from these verses. Firstly, fear not. Our Heavenly Father rules over the sparrows. Fear not. Our Heavenly Father rules over the sparrows. In Jesus' day, sparrows were among the smallest and the most insignificant birds. You could buy them in the marketplace, two for a penny. In fact, Luke 12 tells us that you could get five for two pennies. That is to say, if you bought four, they just threw another one in for free. They were so worthless. They were so insignificant. They were that cheap. And yet verse 29 tells us, not one sparrow, not one will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Such a small, insignificant little bird. And Jesus says, not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father knowing about it. Not one of them perishes apart from his sovereign will and control. And surely, friends, it's remarkable. The smallest animal does not perish without God knowing about it and without him caring about it. And this verse has understandably brought so much comfort and help to many, many people. It's inspired many poems, many songs. One song was written by a lady, Sevilla Martin, in 1905. She tells a story of how she and her husband had developed a friendship with a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. And Mrs. Doolittle, she had been bedridden for about 20 years. Mr. Doolittle had been restricted to a wheelchair for about the same length of time. And yet the two of them, despite their afflictions, lived happy, cheerful, Christian lives. One day, as they were visiting the Doolittles, Sevilla's husband commented on their cheerfulness and just asked them, what's the secret? What's the secret? And Mrs. Doolittle replied, well, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And that little reply brought about the writing of a song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. You might be familiar with the words. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And it's all true, of course. It's helpful, and it's encouraging, and it's comforting. But it falls short, actually, of what Jesus is saying here. It's good, but it could be better, I think. Because not only does God see the sparrow when it falls, but we learn here that the sparrow cannot and will not fall apart from the Father's will. It's not that a sparrow just falls at random and then God sees it and then he notices. No, no, no. Not one sparrow falls apart from the sovereign will and purpose of God. These words remind us, don't they, that sparrows do fall. Sparrows do fall. Just because the Father's eye is on them doesn't make them invincible. Sooner or later, they will fall to the ground. And it's a gentle reminder to us in the Christian life. Sooner or later, troubles, trials will come of all kinds to God's children. Sometimes we fall into the romantic notion that just because we're Christians, that'll solve all our problems. But sickness, redundancy, cancer, bereavement, we're not exempt, friends. You know that. Trouble comes into our lives sooner or later. But the message of the Bible is that trouble, sickness, suffering, sadness, they're not random. They're not meaningless. We're not corks bobbing it about in a sea of fate. How do we know? Because Jesus tells us even the sparrow that falls, even the sparrow that falls is under the sovereign control of our Heavenly Father. I don't know if you've had the experience of sitting at home and all of a sudden there's a bang at the window. It happened with us a while ago, working in my study, and bang, a bird had flown into the window. And once I'd recovered from nearly having a heart attack, I went outside to see if it was on the ground. And there it was, a little starling lying on the ground, motionless, unresponsive, dead. I quickly took care of it out of sight of the children, but I can't say I lost any sleep about it. It didn't trouble me greatly. I didn't share a sympathy note with the congregation. There was no death notice into the paper. But this verse tells us God knew about that little bird. And God saw. And not only did he know and see, but he was in sovereign control of that wayward flight of that bird. And just in case we begin to accuse him of being cruel and unkind, notice how he's described here. Your Father is a title that conveys warmth and tenderness and personal care, his love and his affection. Your loving Heavenly Father. He rules even over the sparrows. Whether they fly, whether they fall, they're under his sovereign control. The smallest, most insignificant of birds, a bird that even the most dedicated bird watcher just ignores. And God is in control. Sometimes we think he's only interested in the big things, God. The monumental things, the significant things. Here he's controlling the smallest things, the tiny things, the seemingly insignificant things. And the Bible is very clear on this, isn't it? Whether it's the falling of a sparrow, whether it's the rolling of the dice, whether it's the movement of a fish or the wriggling of a worm, whether it's the blowing of the wind or the appetite of a raven, or whether it's the flight of an arrow, nothing is out of his control, nothing beyond his control. Isn't it wonderful? He controls even the small things. We saw this, didn't we, in our studies in the book of Esther, the all-embracing sovereignty of God. And it's great, isn't it? Because if God controls the small things, he controls all things, every single day. And I know it doesn't often seem like that. I know it can seem random and meaningless, and the whole thing can seem puzzling and harsh. Often we can't see any reason or rhyme or pattern to it. But God's there, and we walk by faith, don't we? Not by sight. Ephesians 1:11, he works all things according to the counsel of his will. So first reason to fear not. Fear not our Heavenly Father. He rules over the sparrows. He rules over the sparrows. Secondly, fear not. Our Heavenly Father knows every detail in our lives. Fear not. Our Heavenly Father knows every detail in our lives. The analogy changes in verse 30. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, scientists tell us the average person has 110,000 hairs on their head. 110,000 depends on various factors: hair color, race, stress levels, age. But on average, we have about 110,000. Some of you are really messing up the average, but 110,000. Of course, God doesn't work on averages. Jesus tells us, the hairs of your head are all numbered. And the word "your" there is emphasized. The hairs on your head. Yes, even your head. They're all numbered. And notice, it doesn't merely say God knows the total at any given time on your head. Rather, he has numbered them. He's numbered them. In other words, he's numbered each and every one. That is to say, each individual hair on your head is marked out as separate and distinct to him. This one here is number 367. Maybe pull one from here, 9002. Another one from here, 77,645. They're all numbered. It's amazing to see a farmer who knows all of his livestock individually, or to see a headmaster and he knows all the pupils by name. It's amazing. Or somebody, maybe you know somebody who's able to retain birthdays and phone numbers. Just they've just got it. They have a thing for that kind of detail. This is way beyond that. You're talking millions, billions of hair. And our Heavenly Father has numbered them all. Surely it blows our minds. I mean, when we see a stray hair, it's such an insignificant little detail. Most of the time we don't even notice. We're actually quite happy and content not knowing the number of hairs we have. It doesn't trouble us. We don't even try to count. But God knows, and each and every hair is numbered and distinct to Him. In other words, He's interested in your life to the minutest detail. He's interested in the things that you don't even give a second thought about. He doesn't show interest in the big things, the big events. He's involved in the minutest details. Nothing is inconsequential to Him. He knows you better than your friends know you. He knows you better than your family knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And if He knows the small things, He knows all things. He knows you exhaustively. He knows you comprehensively. He knows you completely. Think about it. If there was nobody else in the world except you, if you were the only person that God had to occupy His mind, He wouldn't know you any better than He knows you now. He wouldn't know you any better than He knows you now. How amazing this is, friends. Doesn't it speak of His care, His affection for us? I mean, for many, many people, hair is deeply important, isn't it? Hair is a very personal thing. How many of you just couldn't wait to get back to the hairdresser after lockdown? For some, it was a more important thing than church even. We need the hairdresser. Some of us, we know, don't we, our hair changes as we get older, perhaps through stress or age, but more seriously, through grief or illness. Our hair might change colour, it might start to fall out. And what a deeply moving verse this is then. When we consider our Heavenly Father, He knows all of that and He understands all of that. He knows, friends. He knows every detail in your life right now. You've never had a headache that was not under His sovereign control. You've never stubbed your toe without it being under His sovereignty. And even as we come to the Lord's table this evening, there isn't one thing in your life that He does not know already. Believer, He knows your broken heart. And He knows your weary struggle. He knows what you can't even bring yourself to say in words. Your Father knows what you need, Jesus says. He knows you love Him. Your Father knows. So here's a verse, and it speaks to us of the intensive, meticulous, detailed, providential care of your Heavenly Father. Fear not, then. Fear not. Your Heavenly Father knows every detail in your life. And then thirdly, your fear not. Your Heavenly Father loves you more than you know. Your Heavenly Father loves you more than you know. In verse 31, Jesus tells us, Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. If he rules over the sparrow, our Heavenly Father, if he knows the number of hairs on our head, fear not, Jesus says. You are of more value than many sparrows. There are times in the believer's life when we forget these things, when we forget the all-embracing sovereignty of God, and we forget that he cares about us. Do you remember the question the disciples asked? They were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. The storm blew up. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. He was exhausted. These disciples, a lot of them seasoned fishermen, they were frightened for their lives, and they woke Jesus up. And do you remember what they said to him? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? We're about to perish. Do you not care, Jesus? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought that? When you find yourself in trouble, trial, suffering, sickness, cancer, the loss of a loved one, a rebellious child, a marriage that's gone wrong. Have you ever thought to yourself, sometimes it looks as if he doesn't care? That's what the disciples thought. That's what they said to Jesus' face. Do you not care? Do you not see, Jesus? The Psalms are full of this as well. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Do you not care, in other words? But listen, friends, his eye is on the sparrow. He has numbered the hairs on your head, and you are more valuable to him than many sparrows. You're worth more to him than many sparrows. Jeff Thomas illustrates it like this. He asks us to imagine a set of heavenly scales, a set of heavenly scales, and very accurate. On one side, God puts you on the set of scales. And then on the other side, so he puts you and it sinks down. You're on this side. On the other side, he puts a million sparrows. The scales don't budge. Now God gathers up another million sparrows, puts them on this side of the scales. They still don't budge. He sends his angels out to get crate loads and bucket loads of sparrows and millions upon millions of sparrows on this side of the scales. They still don't move even the slightest. There you are down there. You outweigh millions upon millions of sparrows. You are of more value to him than many sparrows. How do we know? How do we know? Well, friend, God did not send the sun to die for sparrows. Jesus didn't die for sparrows. He died for sinners like you and me. And we have the neck to think to ourselves, sometimes it looks as if he doesn't care. Look at the cross. Look at the cross, look at Calvary, and you'll see how much he cares. Greater love is no one than this, John says, that someone lay down his life for his friends. To the Ephesians, Paul writes, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. To the Galatians, Paul writes, and you can almost hear a sense of wonder and amazement in his voice, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He cares, friends. You can cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, Peter writes. Christian, you are more loved than you know. Than you know. And in a world that is opposed to the gospel, in a world that is full of so much uncertainty, In a world caught in the grip of panic and pandemonium, fear not, God says to you. Fear not, your heavenly Father rules over the sparrow. Your heavenly Father knows every detail in your life, and your heavenly Father loves you more than you know. And if you're not a Christian this evening, this is the God you are rejecting. This is the love that you're turning your nose up at. This is the Savior you're dismissing. Maybe you're worried, maybe in all sincerity, you're worried about becoming a Christian. Maybe it troubles you, the idea of losing friends, losing status, losing reputation, about things changing so much. Take these words. Learn them. Preach them to yourself. Fear not. Fear not. I am of more value to him than many sparrows. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen.